You know, when I think back over my 61 years of life, I realize that I've been in a lot of scary situations. I've been in 6 car accidents. None of them my fault. But I remember in 2 of the car accidents, I saw the car right before they hit me. And I wonder what my face looked like. You know, like those pictures at Space Mountain going down the scary ride. And then once I got caught in a storm when I was in a boat, and the waves, it was a thunderstorm, the waves were like 3 or 4 feet high, the boat had lost power, and the boat was drifting towards rocks, and I thought, man, it's going to hit the rocks, break up, and then sink. And then many years ago, I was in the desert, walking through the desert, and I walked down this trail, and it was a dead end, so I turned around to walk back, and I hear this rattling right at my feet. And it's not really rattling, it's a buzzing of a rattlesnake. And I look down, there's this rattlesnake right in front of me. You know, those were scary situations. With God's grace, I was able to take control, get through these situations, and survive. But I've discovered one of the scariest things I have ever done that was truly, truly terrifying was asking a girl out on a date. Okay? Those other things are nothing compared to asking a girl out on a date. See, it's not like today where you ask a friend of a friend to see if they even like you. If you find out they don't like you, you don't even bother. In my day, we just went out there and just asked the girl out. And why is it so scary? Because when you ask them out on a date, once you say, will you go on a date with me, you are no longer in control. You are no longer in control of the situation. It's all up to them to choose to decide whether to make you happy or humiliate you. I've been humiliated many times. So is it even worth the try? Is it worth it to put yourself out there to take a chance, to take a risk? Yes, it is. It is because of love. We do it because of love. See, God, we've been studying powerful passages from Scripture and what they mean to us. And God is sovereign. He is in control because He is the Creator. But when God created you and me in His image, He gave us the right to choose whether to love Him or to leave Him. God risks it all. What's wrong?
None.
It's on? No. What do you want to do, Tim?
Turn it off.
Turn it off?
Okay.
Okay, should I start over? You know, I've been in scary... No, I'm not. All right. Genesis 2:16. If you look in your sermon outline, Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die. In this verse, we find the first use of the Hebrew word command, which is sawah. And this is the first time God gave us a command. God is the Creator and man is the creature. So God has the right to tell man what he can and cannot do. People think of God's commands as being negative. They're always negative. God gives us commands because he doesn't want us to have any fun. But they're not. He gives them to us to bless us and to give us joy. You see it in this verse that God's permission is paired with God's prohibition. See, Adam has God's permission to eat of any fruit of the garden in any tree. That is a blessing. That's permission. That gives us great joy. We don't have to work hard. We just go to this tree or this tree. We can eat from any tree. But God's permission is paired with a prohibition. You must not eat from that one tree, the first commandment in history. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you, if you eat it, you will surely die. Not just feel guilty, not get a tummy ache from eating this fruit, you will surely die. God's permission comes with God's prohibition. That's how all His commands are. In the same way, God gives us the gift of sex. That's His permission and blessing. But God says only within the bounds of marriage. That's the prohibition. We do the same thing because we're made in the image of God. When your kids want to go outside and play, okay, you can go outside and play, but don't play in the street. We give permission and prohibition. And why did God
give us a choice? Why does God give us a choice to obey Him or not obey Him? Well, our first point in our outline says this. God wants our love to be real. God wants our love to be real, not fake, not contrived. He wants it to be real and sincere. God does not want us to love Him for money. God doesn't want us to love Him for material possessions. He wants us to love Him because we choose to love Him. So God gives us a choice. Look at this quote from Richard Bach. It expresses free will and love. If you love someone, set them free. If they come back, they're yours. If they don't, they never were. And I think that's how God feels about us. He gives us a choice because He wants our love to be real. So the first thing we see is in order for our love to be real, our love must be given freely. We must give it freely. God gives us free will, but He also gives us full knowledge. Here's my permission. Here's my prohibition. He tells us what is permitted and what is prohibited. The Bible is full of God's word that tells us His promises and His blessing, but also His prohibitions and curses. Based on that information, we choose to give our love to God freely or not. We make a mental choice to make a commitment to believe in God's plan and purpose for our lives, to accept His love, or we can choose to reject it because God gives us full knowledge. See, there was nothing, when God gave this command, there was nothing to keep Adam and Eve from that tree. You know, God, why didn't you put a fence up? You know, God, why didn't you put an angel to guard it? God, why didn't you do all that? No, it was free will. The only thing to keep them from taking a fruit from that tree was that they choose to love God and obey Him. It was their choice. See, when you get married, you say, I do. You say, I do, because you believe in that person you are marrying. God wants us to know His will and His word and choose to believe in Him and to love Him and follow His ways. So the first reason, we love freely. The second thing we see is we must give love willingly. We must be willing to love God. That's why they call it free will. God wants us to love Him freely and willingly. God did not make us robots because there is no love in a robot. How many of you would want your children to be robots, that they just obey you and do it the first time you command them? How many of you want robotic children? Well, maybe once in a while. Yeah? No, just once in a while, just when it gets so hard. My grandkids were, you know, come over here. They walk the other way. It's like, you know, put that button, you know, get that remote control and bring them back. But if they were robots, there would be no relationship. There would be no reward and no love. Today, we are baptizing 4 children, and I'm glad the families are here today. And every VBS, when we have a decision, I give them a decision card. First one says, I have trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Another choice is, I am already a Christian. Another one is, I want to be baptized. The fourth one is, I don't want to be a Christian. I decided to throw that in. It's free will. And many of these children originally marked their card, I don't want to be a Christian. And so I watched them grow in their understanding of God. Some of them will start marking after a year or two that I became a Christian tonight, or I want to be baptized. And so over the last 3 years or 4 years, I've watched these children grow in their understanding of God and believe in Him. But oftentimes I think, man, 3 years ago, I should have just pushed them, you know? You know, just pushed them into the baptistry and, you know, dunked them. You know, wouldn't that be meaningful? The pastor's drowning you in the baptistry. I could have pushed them and manipulated them to trust in Jesus 3 years ago, but I wanted them to do it willingly. I wanted it to be meaningful and their choice. We choose God because it is what we really want. We want to choose God. We choose God and because our love for Him, our obedience from Him, flows from our heart. To love God and obey God freely and willingly is a love that God wants from you, that you choose Him freely and willingly. Now we have to understand this in our second point. With every choice you make, the first thing we see is Satan wants to tempt you. With every choice you're faced with, Satan wants to tempt you. God allows you to be tempted by Satan because it's part of free will. If we only have one choice in life, that's not a choice, right? Now, it's interesting. I go to 31 Flavors because I love their ice cream. But for the last 61 years that I've been alive, I've only eaten one ice cream from there. Chocolate chip. That's all I eat. There's 31 other flavors. They change them all the time. I just want chocolate chip. Wife says, do you want to try something else? I go, no. This is a choice I've made. That's my free will. If we only have one choice, we don't have free will. Now, Satan knows that if you sin, if he can tempt you into sin and you choose sin, you will be separated from God. The longer he can persuade you to remain in sin, the farther you are from God. Satan comes like a lion, the Bible says, to devour us and to scare us and to torment us. But Satan comes as a serpent to deceive us, to lie to us, to get us to believe lies. I read a story of a man who was eating pizza while he was watching a show, a TV show on dogs' temperament. You know, they had like Caesar Milano, you know, Dog Whisperer and stuff like that. And the instructor was saying that a test for a canine's disposition was for the owner to fall down and act hurt. And if a dog with a poor temperament would get all anxious and start barking or bite at the master because they don't know what to do. But a dog with a good temperament would come and lick his face and be concerned and show concern. So the man decides, well, I'm going to try this on my two dogs. I'm going to try this theory. So he stands up, he clutches his heart and falls down and screams. And the dogs look at him, and then they look at each other, then they race for the pizza. Because Satan knows the desires of your heart. Every temptation you face is tailor-made for your desires. That's why it's so easy. That's why it's so tempting. Satan already knows what we want. Look at Genesis 3:4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. When you eat that fruit that's forbidden, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. See, Satan twists God's word. At first, God says what? If you eat it, you will surely die. Satan takes the word and goes, nah, if you eat it, surely you won't die. In fact, you'll be like God. And isn't that what we all want to be? God of our own lives. We want to run our own lives. We don't want to listen to God. We only want to listen to God when we have problems and we have needs that we can't solve ourselves. So Eve was tempted in three ways. She looked at the fruit and she saw that the tree was good for food. She was tempted physically. Man, that food looks good. It looks good to eat. And then she was tempted emotionally because it was pleasing to the eye. When you look at something that's pleasing to the eye, it tempts you emotionally. I want it. I deserve it. I need it. And then she looked at it and saw that it was desirable for gaining wisdom. She could be just like God. So she was tempted mentally. I can be just like God. So she gives into the temptation and ate it and sinned against God. Now understand this. Being tempted is not a sin. Acting on that temptation is a sin. So what do you do when Satan comes by? What do you do when Satan tempts you? Well, when temptation comes, when temptation calls, just hang up. Just hang up. Don't try to talk to the devil. Don't have a discussion with him like she did. Don't try to reason with him. Satan has centuries and eons to know how to say anything to you to get you to do things you don't want to do. Don't try to talk to Satan or reason with him or argue with him. Just hang up the phone. Look at Proverbs 14:16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. The wise man hangs up. The fool keeps talking to the devil. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. If you don't want to get burned, don't play with fire. I was watching we had a barbecue on Thanksgiving. We didn't barbecue turkey, we barbecued steaks. And my son-in-law lit the charcoal, and the first thing my oldest grandson does is like, what's that? It's like, you know, and he wants to stick a stick in it and poke in it and run around with flames on his stick. It's just, you know, that's just temptation. If you don't want to get burned, don't play with fire. If you don't want to fall off the cliff, don't walk along the edge. The goal is not to see how close you can get to sin. The goal is how far you can stay away from it. So why do you keep playing with it and taunting it and amusing yourself with it? Because you will fall into sin. I was listening to Colonel Milstead, the commander of the Department of Public Safety, the Highway Patrol. And he was talking about all the accidents. Look at this slide. Do I have an accident slide? He was talking about all the accidents that occur on Labor Day. He said that these accidents are caused by two things. Driving too close. How many of you drive too close? And driving too fast. None of you break the speed limit, do you? Isn't that why we fall into sin? We drive too fast in life. We're not paying attention. We don't listen to God to slow down and be cautious. And then we're too close to sin. And we think we can stop any time. I'll tell you, you know, if you're being tempted by sex and you don't know what your limit is and when you're going to stop, you're just going to plow right into sex. I mean, when you're being intimate and the hormones act up, if you're too close, you won't stop. Your momentum will carry you into sin. And when we start sinning, our lives start to crash and burn. When Satan calls, just hang up. The second thing we see when we are faced with a choice, Satan wants to tempt us, but God wants you to trust him completely. See, when you have a choice, you can be tempted, just hang up. And you can trust God completely. God gives us free will so we can learn about freedom and obedience and life. One of the basic truths of life is that obedience brings blessings and disobedience brings judgment. Some grandmothers were together to have lunch together, and they were complaining about how their grandkids were so ungrateful. The grandkids never came by to thank them for their gifts. They never called them or talked to them. And so one grandmother shared how she sent a Christmas card to every grandchild and enclosed a check. And every single grandchild came by and thanked her personally. And the other grandmother's like, what? That's impossible. How did this happen? What did you do? And she says, well, I didn't sign the checks. Grandma, thank you. Will you sign this for me? Don't give cash. Send an unsigned check. But see, God gives us this opportunity to learn how to live and make choices. God wants you to learn how to live. He gave us a Bible to show us how to live. He gives us the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and how to apply and understand God's Word. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Remember, every promise in the Bible has a premise, something we need to do in order to receive the promise. And in this passage says, well, you need to trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Believe His Word. Dwell in the land, His land. Dwell in His presence and enjoy His presence. Be happy in Him. Spend time with Him and He will give you the desires of your heart. See, when you love God, when you really believe and trust in Him, your desires will be His desires. Your will be His will. And His will for you is to have a happy, healthy, and holy life. That you be blessed beyond measure. So I ask you this, do you trust God? When you're faced with a choice and you maybe want this or you want that, will you trust God and believe in Him? Or will you question all of His commands? Remember that everything God does for you is for your blessing and benefit. Obedience to God's word keeps us in the sphere of God's fellowship and approval. All of God's commands are good commands, and they bring good things to those who obey them. First John 5:3. This is love for God, to obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. If you find that God's commands are too burdensome, what does that mean? That means you want to sin. This command's too hard. I can't do it. That's because you desire to sin. Because God's commands are not too burdensome for those that love Him. In fact, with God's commands, when you trust Him and dwell in His presence, you can overcome the world. You can overcome the devil. You can overcome any problem in your life. See, why are choices so important? Our third point says this: our choices shape our lives. The choices you make shape who you are. Free will is a powerful gift. It can shape your life for the better or for the worse. Your choices form the behavior, which become habits, which becomes your character, eventually becomes your lifestyle. Isn't it amazing that today you can change your body shape by what you eat and how much you exercise? You know, I've been wrestling with my body shape because it's getting larger. But I can change what I eat and I can exercise more to change it, but it's my choice. You can pay all of your debt off and become debt-free if you choose to. Or you can choose to become even more deeply indebted to people. You can grow closer to God if you make choices and receive His love. But you can grow farther from God if you choose to sin against Him and enjoy sin. You become what you choose, so you have to choose wisely. I was reading through 2 Kings a couple of weeks ago, and I ran across this passage, and it really struck me. 2 Kings 17:15, talking about the Israel people. They rejected His decrees and the covenants which He had made with the fathers and the warnings He had given them. And they followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had warned them, ordered them, do not do as they do. And they did the things that the Lord had forbidden them to do. They worshipped worthless idols, and they became worthless. Are you worshipping worthless things? Are you pursuing things that don't give you any eternal value or heavenly treasures? If you worship worthless things, you become worthless. If you imitate sinful people, you become sinful. Now, media, TV, music want you to imitate sinful people. See, is your life filled with bitterness or sadness or envy? Is it because you worship worthless idols? Anything you devote your time and energy to is an idol. It could be worry. It could be lust. It could be greed. It could be self-pity. It could be possessions or a form of pleasure. But when you worship God, you become worthy. You become worthy of the blessings He wants to give you and every promise He wants to fulfill in you. When you imitate people of the world, you become like them. But instead, we're supposed to be made in the image of God, so we should imitate God. And so I ask you today, do you look like God or do you look like the world? Your choices shape your life. Our goal, once we become Christians, is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. The fourth point I want to close with is make choices that grow your faith. You know, today we have so many choices. In 2016, there were 455 scripted television programs on the air. 455. And that doesn't include reality TV. Because there were 750 reality TV shows on the air. That's a lot of choices. That's also plenty of opportunity to waste your time. So make choices that matter. God doesn't just want you to choose to become a Christian, which we need to do. He wants us to grow spiritually and to experience God and our knowledge of God and our experience with God. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, I know many of you are already believers. You love the Lord. And I ask you this, is your Christian life too easy right now? Maybe you have plenty of money, you worked hard and saved money. Maybe the kids are doing well, everybody's healthy, and you're happy. Well, watch out. don't stay that way. An easy life often leads to a shallow faith. A faith that has not been tested, can it really be trusted? See, if you're playing it safe, you're not growing in your faith. When you play it safe, you're not stretching yourself and testing yourself. I encourage you to take a risk. Take a chance. I'm not talking about taking a leap of blind faith. I'm talking about knowing what God wants you to do and having faith in God. Know what God wants you to do and be willing to do it. You know, I've helped some of you overcome darkness and depression and discouragement. I've seen you change your life around and be blessed in your life. And all this just gives me praise and glory to watch you change and be transformed. But the real miracle is when I see you helping someone overcome their darkness and depression and discouragement. That's the miracle. When you grow, and I see because you've grown in faith, you are touching another life. So you have to exercise your faith. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, but you've never taught God's Word. Maybe you're here today and you know that you should share the gospel with someone, but you've never prayed for someone to know Christ. You've never started a conversation with a person just to see where it would lead. Maybe you're here today and you know that that person next to you at work is going through hard times. Maybe their child is sick or they have a health problem, but you've never spent a meal with them just to listen to what their problems are. Exercise your faith. Grow stronger. Watch where God is working and join Him there. Deuteronomy 30:19. This day, this is Moses talking before the people. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. What a desire that you will love God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The choice is about life and death, blessings and curses, to love God or to leave Him, or to listen to God and to love Him, and enjoy the life that God has intended for you to live. See, we'll be accountable for every choice. We have free will, but we will be held accountable for every choice we make. The Bible says that we have all made bad choices, and those choices are called sin. Because of that, we have been separated from God. But God loves us. His love compels Him to give us another chance, another choice. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and rise from the dead. And if we choose to believe in Jesus, He wipes away our sins. If we commit to follow Him, He will take us to heaven. But we must choose. We must choose Jesus. And I ask you this today, friends. Are your choices you are making today leading you closer to God or farther away? What choice will you make in your life today? Are you ready to trust in Jesus? Are you ready to be challenged by Jesus to become more than you are? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads at this time. God, I pray that everyone here today will be thinking about the choice they need to make today. Maybe someone here today needs to settle his or her decision on whether to trust in you as their Savior and their Lord and follow you in water baptism. Father, if someone's here today, help them to hang up on Satan and start talking to you and knowing you and trusting you and believing in you and committing their lives to follow you. Is there someone like that here today who needs to believe in you, Father? Father, maybe my brother or sister in Christ today needs to take a step of faith and make a choice to follow you and become more committed to become an instrument of hope and healing in someone's life, a vessel of hope and healing to touch someone's life in Jesus' name. Father, touch their heart that they will trust you and commit to obey you, even though it may be a little scary, even though it might be a little hard. They have faith, and we want to help all of these who need to make their choices to believe in you or to obey you today. Father, we thank you for free will. I choose to love you, I choose to believe in you and trust in you today. I thank you for these children who trusted in you and believed in you and want to demonstrate their love through water baptism. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready to trust in Christ today? Are you ready to say, Lord, use me today? As we stand and sing, please feel free to come forward. I will pray with you. Let's stand as we sing.